Well, I have to hold this mic because we don't have a Propel mic, and so I like to move around a lot, but today I'm going to have to just be still, which is almost impossible. God's going to work it out, and so we're very grateful to be here. I was asked to... Yeah, it might be better if you move just a little bit to the back because I have the tendency of blowing the speakers because my wife told me, please do not yell. But sometimes I'm not mad at anybody. I just sometimes have a tendency of hollering and screaming and getting all excited and jumping up and down. And, you know, it's just... It's just one of those things I have not been able to. I'm really a mess, but my mess is my message, and so I'm trying to turn this off so it won't interrupt. There it is. Let's pray. Our gracious and most darling and most loving and most powerful Creator of the universe, Creator of all the energy on this earth, Creator of time, Creator of every living thing. We worship you and praise you today, as you are definitely a mighty God. And Father, we pray that this afternoon that Father, you will be the voice that ministers to us. And I will be the speaker by which you speak this afternoon to encourage us and strengthen us every day. We pray this in the wonderful, blessed, holy name of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. My good friend Jim Sorrells used to come to the Tulsa workshop every year. He used to enjoy me getting up here and say, you know, I'm on my way to heaven, and I just dropped by here today to see if anybody would like to go with me. And he always enjoyed me saying that, but you know, really, that's really true, that we are on our way to heaven, and we just dropped by here to see, you know, if anybody would like to go to be with us. I'm very grateful to be in Christ. I came to the Tulsa workshop almost in 1986. And ever since that time, Marvin Phillips and Terry have asked me to come. Not so much because, you know, I have a rich vocabulary or a rich background academically, but because I have, you know, a passion, you know, for the things that God does. And when you have a passion for the things that God does for you, you know, you don't need a strategy, you don't need a program, you don't need a degree, all you need is God. Because when God moves in a mighty way, he just has a tendency of just blowing you away in a powerful and a very mighty way. And so today, because we're very limited to time, we're talking about evangelism through prayer. And so these are some of the things that I'm going to attempt to speak while I'm at this workshop today and Saturday, Friday, and also Saturday. But I'm going to try to cram all this in just 20 minutes, if you can believe that, because no one's going to be here at three o'clock on Saturday. Everybody will go home. And so, I appreciate the fact that they give me the opportunity to come and share the good news of the gospel. I have a passion for Christ because Christ had delivered me from the Mexican mafia and from drugs and alcohol. And I've had a lot of wonderful people in my life, coaches, life coaches, like Bill Bonaski and Prentice Minter and Jim Dark and Wes Witt and many, many other people, Bill Blitzoe. And these are people that are business people, and they have helped me to come out of a drug dealer mentality and to make a paradigm shift and to still use my gifts, my skills, but to use them in a very legitimate way. And so we're going to be speaking a little bit about the presence of God, the working of God's Holy Spirit, the amazing power of prayer, hospitality, how we can find God among strangers. And then the one that really I love is developing relationship with these strangers, and then the spiritual formation. Now, I now live in Abilene, Texas. I was in Grand Prairie for almost 20 years. And some people always ask me, and I don't say this to brag, and anything that I say here today that mentions baptism and numbers and church establishments and small church, I want you to know right off, you know, the bat, that I'm not talking about or not taking any credit or taking any glory away from my Savior. I want you to know that. I want you to know, though, that I say all these things because I want you to know how powerful our God is, how mighty and powerful is that He can take anybody, anywhere, from any race, from any nation, from any neighborhood, even from prison, to accomplish His task. And the task is what is at the very heart of God, His eternal purpose. He came to seek and to save the lost of this world. But how we do that, and how we share the gospel, really, the methodology of that, is different with everyone. What I will attempt to share with you today will not even sound like Church of Christ. It will sound like the Holy Spirit of God moving in such a way that you may think at times that I am exaggerating and making up these stories. But God is so mighty. He is so powerful. He wants to, and He invites us to come and to be part of His activity through the work of His Holy Spirit to accomplish His task. And people always ask me, because in my years of 30 years as a Christian, coming out of a gang-related background, a cartel, a drug-infested neighborhood, how can a person like that with no education, with no knowledge, with just a high school diploma, how could God do all the things in that person? Where other people have gone and received their master's degree and their doctor's degree, and they've done all these good things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But how is God able to use such a person with such limited knowledge or any educational background? Because God can use people who are teachable and who are humble. If you are teachable and you are humble, it doesn't matter what race you are, how old you are, what your sex is, who you are, where you come from, God can use you in a very mighty way. But you almost have to have this romantic relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to love Him more than anything in the world. And so, God invites us when He says, call on Me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. I tell you the truth. If anyone has faith in Me, he will do whatever I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Now, what is a witness? A witness is someone that has a story to tell of something that happened to that individual. Everyone, a witness is somebody that has been transformed, that tells a story about your mess, being all messed up, and then God taking your mess and turning it into a message. It's about God using weak people to be able to convey His message in a mighty way. And you know, these stories are not boring stories. They're stories that are alive. Every disciple of Christ has the living pulse of God running through his body and his heart and his mind. It's people who have been set free, have been released, have been redeemed, have been forgiven, and are inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God. And they say so wherever they go. And you know what? Evangelism is nothing else but taking the pressure off yourself and putting the pressure back on God. See, we put so much pressure on ourselves. You know, I get calls from ministers and elders that say, you know, we're not evangelizing anymore. We're not baptizing people anymore. The preacher isn't preaching any sermons from the pulpit on evangelism, as if that's the question that we need to be asking. The question that we need to be asking is, what is God doing in the community? And what am I doing to join with Him in that community and join, you know, with God? But you know, being a witness for Christ is one thing, but being a model for Christ is another thing. I want to talk to you about practicing the presence of God. What is practicing the presence of God? We do that through hospitality. Hospitality I'll speak about on Saturday, which is very biblical. But practicing the presence of God is, and you know, we don't do that very well, do we? Practicing the presence of God. You know, for many years we have said, this is the Holy Spirit right here. He don't live inside here. And yet we have scriptures that back up the fact that His mighty power is working within us. Practicing the presence of God is acknowledging and the openness of being in union with God who is inside of us. We practice the presence of God in silence by taking small sabbaticals. We begin to hear and to see God from a different perspective. We begin to see everything as being sacred. We have this deep awareness that God's activity is living in us. It's a simple way of keeping connected with God throughout the day. It's about our relationship with God, not about programs or strategy. It's like picking up the phone and saying to God, Lord, here I am. Show me your ways today. I am available today, God. Because you see, God is not looking so much for ability as much as He's looking for availability. If you make yourself available to God, man, He will just blow you away. And so we need to relax. We need to rejoice. And we need to learn to rest in God. Rejoice. Have the joy of God when people look at you. They see, man, what is he so joyful about? What's he jumping up and down? Why is he laughing? And you know what? You don't even have to pretend to be joyful. You know, other people that are not Christians can see it. You probably can't see it because you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you can't see that you're joyful. But you are. And people can see it. And then you need to relax more. Your job is not to convert anybody. Your job is not to save anybody. That's God's job. Your job is just to personify Him, to be like Him. Like Jesus said, hey, you see me? You see the Father. Look at me. And then we need to rest in God. But you know what? Did you know that there is a difference between, speaking about the practicing the presence of God, realizing that God is inside of us. Did you know that there is a difference? Is it possible, maybe for some of us, to have the Holy Spirit with us, but not the Holy Spirit in us. You can have the Holy Spirit with you. You can go to workshops. You can be around spiritual people. You can hear some great sermons. You can just get all the good spiritual books. That's one thing. But having the Spirit of God in you, subconsciously. You know, the people of God in the Old Testament used to do that. You remember the tabernacle? The tabernacle up there in the wilderness? No matter what area you were in, if this was a tabernacle and you were a mile away and there was nothing but desert, you would see the torch of God coming down from heaven and lighting up the whole desert. If you were eating, if you were carrying on, whatever it is that you were doing, you were always subconscious of the glory of God. And so when you're subconscious of the glory of God, you are always ready, you know, to walk, to relax, to rest, to go about your business. And constantly, you know, sometimes people hear me talking about when I'm walking, they hear me talking, they think I'm crazy. And I'm walking and they say, what did you say? I didn't say anything. I'm talking to God. Here we go, God. Where are we going today, God? I'm walking over here, God. God, I'm here at this workshop. I need to share something. God, I don't know what to say to those people, but I know that you're inside of me. See, God loves when people subconsciously are aware of His presence. And you know, when you are aware of that, and you are aware of His presence, you know, God will send people your way. You see, God's not going to send people our way so that we can beat them up some more. God's only going to send people away to us because we have nourished ourselves, you see. And so, I'm going to have to go real fast here because I'm going to have to skip a lot of things. But listen to those scriptures that talk about the presence of God being inside. Now, unto him who is able to do, I'm going to read from the King James, but this is the NIV. But unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. And then Romans 8:11 says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And to this end, I labor, struggling with all of his energy, which so mightily is at work within me. And here's another reminder of practicing the presence of God being inside of us. Don't you realize, don't you? You realize, don't you? That you are the temple of God and that God himself is present in you. Nobody will ever get by with vandalizing God's temple. You can be sure of this, though. God's temple is sacred. And you, remember, you are the temple of God. Or didn't you realize that your body is sacred, a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical parts of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual parts of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God through your body. Now, one of the things that we are doing at the Highland Church is we're telling people, go home. Take a sabbatical. Go spend time with God. One day we told the whole church that we were going to take a whole sabbatical, 1 year sabbatical, no church, No Wednesday services. Nothing at the building. And they thought that that was really heresy. How could you tell us to go home? How long have we been studying about God? We study and we study and we study and we learn and we learn and we learn. And it's just like the scripture that says, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So, what am I here for? Let me tell you why I'm here. You're here to be salt seasoned that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You have lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way of putting it. You're here to be light, to bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light barriers, do you think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I have put you there on the hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your life. By opening up to others, you prompt people to open up to God, this generous God in heaven. So when we go into a neighborhood, as we do at the Highland Church, I was in Grand Prairie, and I had been in Grand Prairie, I want to say like 20-something years, maybe 23, I don't remember. I had a good job there. I had tenure. In other words, no one could fire me but God. I had, at that church, favor and love, and people, they wouldn't fire me because of the love that I had and the love that I had for that community. I'm not bragging again. I'm just saying what God does. But one day I was praying to God. I said, God, do you want me to stay here for the rest of my life and retire here? Or do you have another place for me? And that's all I prayed. 3 days later, I get a phone call from the Highland Church of Christ. Never even been to Abilene, to that church. I don't even know where Highland is. I don't even know anything about Highland. But they say, we want you to come and do an interview. They had already interviewed 39 ministers, and they just couldn't make up their mind. And so I said, I'm just going to go. I really don't want to go to Abilene because I used to make fun of Abilene. Abilene, Abilene. I used to sing that to my children. Don't ever mock a country because you may wind up in that country. And my kids used to always, my wife can tell you, I would mock that city. And the only thing I knew about Abilene was ACU, and all you could do is see that from the interstate. So I said, I'll go and do an interview. And I didn't want to go to Abilene because I've always lived in cities of 1 million people. And here I'm going to be part of a rural area. So I go to that interview. They have 40 elders at that church. They have the 40 elders there plus their wives. And I go up there and I say, I'm going to tell these people all the bad things about me. That way they won't hire me. And I begin to tell them about all the bad stuff I have been. And boy, I just told them every bad thing. I told them, I don't really care whether you hire me because I have learned how to live with nothing to prove. I have learned to live with nothing to hide. I have learned to live with nothing to earn. I know who I am. And, went back to Grand Prairie. My wife was going to sign a contract with the Independent School District in Grand Prairie as a community liaison. So I called them and told them that, I was going to have to we were going to have to sign this contract. When you sign a contract with the independent school district, you have to honor that. You can't back off. They said, don't sign it. They went into a special session. The elders were unanimous, and so was a search committee. So here I go to Abilene. Never been to that church before. Didn't even have a time to go to one of their church services. And I get there, and of course, you know, at the other church where I go, they don't raise their hand. I'm probably the only one that raises hand when I'm praising God, you know. And I'm the only one that says, hallelujah, praise God. You know, people look at me like, all right, we know Joe's in the house. And I went to this church, and I tell you, I saw people praising and worshiping God. And then I saw women serving the Lord's Supper and women up there making announcements. And I thought, man, they're doing what it says in Acts 2:30 in the book of Acts. For in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit both on male and female. He said. He didn't say, I'm just going to pour my spirit on a woman or not a man. I'm going to pour my spirit for anybody who's teachable and humble and wants to be engaged in my activities to seeking and saving the lost. Yes. And I get there, and I've been praying, you know, all these years. You know, the reason why I went to Grand Prairie was because I went there because there was a little church that, and your church may be this way, where, you know, at one time, you know, you were like 1,500, and then you went down to 800, and then you went down to 300, then you went down to 200, you went down, and it kept going down, and yet the demographics of your neighborhood was changing, and man, you were just scared to death. Because we live in a dangerous world. We live in a dangerous neighborhood. Dangerous people like me that want to take your goods and want to break in your house and want to do all these bad things, and you're just frightened to death. And you huddle up, you know. And there's nothing happening. So they asked me, if you'll come over here and you'll start this church, we'll let you have the building. Because we're out of here. I said, really? He said, yeah. And there was like six people in this auditorium of 400 or 500, you know, very easily. So I said, sure. He said, but you got to fill it up. I said, okay, I'll do that. And see, I've always prayed to God. I've always read the scripture, so I know what God wants. I've always seek God's spiritual direction. And so I just went out, and God started doing amazing things. One of the amazing things it does is I constantly stand and say, God, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. And God, it's like God is saying, oh, I'm so glad you said that, because you really don't. I'm the one that knows what I'm doing. But just because you're that humble, I'm just going to show up and show out, and I'm going to blow you away. Watch this. So I'm sitting in my nice, comfortable office. And so the first day that they said, this is going to be your building, there's only like me, my wife, and probably just me and my wife. And so I'm sitting in there, you know, getting passing my little flyers, telling people that, you know, there's a man of God in town. And he's going to tell you what God says, you know. Come listen if you want to know what your purpose in life is. So one day, you know, I'm saying, God, no one responded to those flyers. We didn't get anybody that responded. God said, go next door. Now, God doesn't speak in an audible voice where I can hear like I'm talking now. But he has a way of speaking to your spirit and to your faith. And he said, go next door. And of course, you know, I didn't really want to go next door because logically, see, our logic tells us that practicing the presence of God makes no sense. Right? You get the prompting of God, well, that's going to make me look foolish. What if I go and there's no one there? But God said, you go. So I just pick up a Bible and I just go to where, I don't know where, I say, eeny, meeny, might not, I don't know where I'm going. That one, or I don't know. Yeah, I'll just pick that one right there. So I just went to the first one and I knocked on the door. You know, sometimes you don't even want to, do you struggle with just knocking on a door because you don't know what's going to open? I hesitate to knock on the door because my sister that's right here in the front one time knocked on the door and she got shot out through that door. Boom, boom, boom. You know? And so I always think about that story my sister told me. When I knock on that door, are they going to shoot through that door? But I was knocking on that. And this guy opened the door and I said, hey, has anybody ever invited you to the church here next door? He says, no. Has anybody ever given you a Bible? He said, no, I don't think anybody. Well, here, you can have this one. And he said, well, come on in. I get in there and I started, he gave me some coffee. We were just talking and having a conversation. And he's just talking about how he had lost his job and telling me all these, you know, stories that I had heard before. I didn't even know what I was doing there, really. Because my way of doing evangelism is not going door knocking. You know, it's God sending people my way who are ready to accept Jesus, and I just get to baptize them. It's not my work. It's somebody else's work. But anyway, to make a long story short, he's there talking to me and telling me all this, you know, about his life. And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, this lady pops up into the kitchen and she says, he's the man. He's the man. And I didn't know what she was talking about. I thought, well, did I steal something from her? Did I do something? What? I'm the man. He's the man. And you could tell that, you know, her eyes where she had been, you know, her eyes were swollen when she had been crying. And she began to start sharing the story how she had been in the restroom on her knees praying for somebody to come to their home because the husband had lost his job. He was suicidal. She didn't know what to do. They had three girls, had no money. She was in the restroom on her knees crying. Now, you see, that's something only God can do. I'm sitting one day talking about don't try to make things happen. Don't assume that God is not in the neighborhood. You know, sometimes we go into a neighborhood thinking, God isn't here. And I just showed up. But God has already been there way before you even get there. God has been preparing that neighborhood way before you even got there, you even thought about moving to Abilene. He was already preparing the soil for that. But God's timing is very perfect. And so I am known in the community of being very generous. My wife can tell you, I will literally empty my pockets. I will go in my closet, give my clothes away. My wife bought me. I will give everything. I will even take the shoes right off my feet and give them to people. I have gone home barefooted by giving people stuff. Again, I don't want you to think that I'm taking the glory. I'm just trying to show you that when this God who is inside of us and we are aware of Him, it's not a pressure. You relax, you rejoice, you take the pressure out of yourself and say, God, this is your job. I'm not smart enough to do this. I'm not intelligent enough to do this. This is something that you do. Well, one day we were just having a fish fry. We have about 150 volunteers that work for me in Abilene, and it's an enormous job. I have to take care of almost $250,000 of payroll and money we just give away to the community. We don't put money in buildings. We don't put money in salaries. We give it all away to people. who needed the poor. And so I'm honoring the volunteers for their service in community ministry because I'm a community minister. And I'm in that particular setting, we had a chief momentum from Africa. And they asked him if he could give a talk. And they said, well, what are you going to talk about? I said, I'm going to talk about the significant things that God does through meals. And so, man, that sounds good. And so we all sitting down eating, and people are always telling me, Joe, there's some people looking for you. And so here is this lightweight contender. He's a boxer. His name is Jai. He has tattoo here on his arm. Get you some. That's what when he puts him this way, that's what it reads. Get you some. And he was a heavyweight champion. But somebody, he's going around town saying, man, can somebody help me find God? I need to find God. And so this girl named Jamie and Francis said, I know a guy that can help you. And so they come in and they say, hey, are you Joel Manza? I said, yes. Well, somebody told me that you can help me find God. I said, I can do that. I said, won't you just sit down and have some fish fry and we'll talk about that later. And he said, you don't understand, man. I need him now. I said, friend, eat your food as a way of saying, let me wash your feet. You've been walking a long ways. Drink your drink. We'll talk about it in a little bit. And that African, I don't know if you guys know anything about African people in Africa. They are so powerful. They're powerful ministers of the gospel. It looks like they're prophets speaking from the very essence of God. I mean, they're just that powerful. And he began to speak. And Jai turned around and said, does that guy know me? I said, I don't think so. He said, how does he know everything that he's saying about me? I said, he doesn't. That's God speaking to you. With tears running down his eyes, he just kept crying. Can you tell that guy to stop? Finally, the chief, I told him what was going on. We went into this little room, and he got down on her knees, and he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I really do. And I want to do anything that God wants me to do. We took his confession of faith there. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that no one could do for him, that only God could do that. We took him and we baptized him. And the girl that was with him, Jamie, she said, you think I can do that too? I said, sure. You know, we also baptized her. And so we go into the community and we really do a servanthood evangelism, but there's no guilt to it. There's no stress. There's low risk and a lot of high grace. But, you know, have you ever wondered how Jesus was able to draw people to himself? People often tell me, how was it that you've been able to establish, in my 30 years as a Christian, I have established 18 churches. These are not your regular, these are charismatic, evangelistic churches where I have, you know, people that get converted, and I send them back to their village, and they start a small group, what we call simple churches, where it's just a group of people that just praise God, have the Lord's Supper, give a little sermon, a small sermon, but mainly it's just about friendship and family and fellowship. And at the very beginning, this question, 30 years ago, I was asking that from my prison cell. How was God able to do all this? How was he able to draw the homeless, the sick, the broken, those in prison? How was he able to show people, give people the time of day? How could he do that? His devotional life. You know, you can't really be, and again, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but that's okay. I've been in trouble most of my life anyway. But if you have not been transformed, I'm not talking about going to church, because church has never transformed anybody. Do you know that? You go to church to receive information, but it doesn't transform you, because how many times you get out of church and you're still doing the same things over and over again? Only a passionate, intimate relationship with Jesus can change you to change others. You remember Peter in Acts chapter 3? Bible said that he went to the temple. And do you remember the one significant thing that he said? He said, "Friend, I don't want you to think that I don't believe in charity. But I want to go beyond charity. Silver and gold have we not, but what I have, I give unto you." What was it that he was giving? Was he giving the name of his church? Was he giving all the knowledge? Was he giving, what was he giving? He was giving his own experience of how he was transformed by Jesus. See, you can't give away nothing that you don't have. If you haven't been transformed, you witness for Christ, you save people, you bring people to Christ based on your own experience with God. Sometimes I'm afraid that we don't have an experience with God. What we have is institutionalism, where we have just been institutionalized. And institutionalism, I know very well institutionalism, where first, you know, you hate the walls of your building. Then after a while, you know, you get to where you begin to like them. And then after a while, you get to where you depend on them. That's institutionalism. But see, God's not in a building. God is inside of us. And God says, "Man, you need to get away from your church building." And you know, it doesn't take a lot to begin a conversation. I just forgot something I was supposed to say. I'm going to pause and say that before I forget. I was supposed to announce to you that all this that I'm sharing with you, there is a video at booth 803 called "The Missing Piece." That is an evangelistic video that I did some of the production in Abilene, that Don Humphrey asked me if you want a copy of it, that you want to share with someone, you know, if you know somebody. It's called "What's Missing, the Pieces That Are Missing in Your Life." But anyway, and then Terry also told me to tell you that there's another video called 100% Natural Evangelism. If you want to go get that, that is more of the story that I'm telling here now. Now, they're telling me back there I need to quit. And I didn't even get to my point. But you know what? This is going to spill over to Saturday. And I would just have to just do it that way, because I've got so much material. My wife always tells me, "Why do you write so much? You only have 20 minutes." But let me just end with this one. Here's what Jesus said. "I can draw no one unto me unless the Father draws them unto me." Now, what was God drawing the people to Jesus? What did Jesus have? You see, when when your devotional life is nourished, you pray, you read the scripture, you seek God's spiritual direction, you nourish yourself with God like Jesus did, then God begins to draw people to you. But see, they're not coming to you. You might start taking credit for it and say, oh, you know, I must have done something good that they're... They're coming for the God that's inside of you. They're not coming to you. Because you don't look that pretty and you don't look that intelligent and you don't have that much education. They're not coming to see you. They're coming to get the very thing that you had nourished yourself with, God inside of you. They're coming to do that, see? See, prayer is breathing in the life of Christ and then breathing out the work of God. Yeah, that's what prayer is. Prayer is the recognition of the presence of God that's inside of you. It's that divine dialogue. It helps us to hear the voice of God. See, this language, this vocabulary I'm using, this isn't Church of Christ language. We don't hear this kind of language in our Bible class. Hey, have you learned to find God among strangers? God among strangers? That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. And yet, we have scriptures like Hebrews 13 that we know very well. Do not neglect in entertaining strangers, for some have entertained angels without being unaware. Abraham, in Genesis 18 and 19, entertained some strangers that came to town. They were the angels of the Lord. Well, how do you know that a stranger that comes into your church, how do you know if that's not Jesus Christ personified in that tore up, dirty, long hair, smelly person that's coming? You may be surprised that when you begin to minister to that person, that that may be the very person that God has sent to you so that you could minister to him with what you have already nourished yourself with, you see. It also helps us to navigate our way through life and navigate us to the people that are crying out to God. Yeah. I'm not saying this because I read this from a book. I've actually experienced this. And this is what I'm doing in Abilene, is training people. And I've trained such a powerful core group right now in Abilene. And I wish I had time to show you the things that God is just marvelous thing that God is doing there in Abilene. How he's drawing people, kids. This is our Freedom Fellowship Church that we started. We got in the baptism, boy, they just come. You know, people just hungry for God. You know, it's just amazing what God begins to do. We invite them to a picnic, you know, to come and have, you know, Saturday I'll talk about the neighborhood walking ministry. We walk the neighborhood. We've already prepared ourselves. We've already learned how to practice the presence of God. Now we're ready to go. You see, it's go time. Did you know that 3/3 of God's name is go? Go. He didn't say, hey, let them come to us. No. We need to go where they're at. And this is a picnic that we did in our parking lot. We go into the neighborhoods. They start walking from all over the place. This is just the beginning. We have 200-300 there. On Wednesday night, we have 300-400 people from the neighborhood. We offer a catered meal every Wednesday. We call it the Oasis. Right there in the little corner, I have what I call the prayer corner. I had to develop two classes. One is called Celebrate Jesus, which is a church entry. The other one is Celebrate Life. It's full to capacity. People are just coming. People are just hungry. We're getting back now, ready to come back after being a sabbatical for a year. We're going back into opening up the Oasis again and feeding the people of the community. But now we have developed a curriculum. It's called Finding God in Strangers. And every Bible class in our church is going to be studying the same curriculum, because, you see, church isn't about, hey, We hired Joe Manza to do the work for us. Those times are gone. You don't hire an outreach minister, anyone, to do the work that you're supposed to be doing. You just probably hire me to just do maintenance and to do administrative things and to organize and to plan and to clone myself and to train other people. But to hire an outreach ministry because you say, man, we have a lot of blacks in this neighborhood. We have a lot of Hispanics in this neighborhood. We need to hire as a community minister. And you know, when I went to Highland, I told those elders, if you hired me to come here and do the work for you, you got another thing coming because I don't work for nobody. I work for God. You need to, and I'm not going to say it because, you know, I get in trouble, but you need to get off your butt and, man, you need to go out into that neighborhood. It ain't my job to do the work for you. You can't pay me enough to do the job for you. Because I'll be the only one with the joy. I'll be jumping up and down and say, what that crazy Mexican doing jumping up and down? What's wrong with him? Well, I'm just getting all the joy. No, it's all of our responsibility. We are all responsible for what God does. Man, I can tell you how we walk, the neighborhood walkers and the things that we do with people. And at Highland, let me tell you something. At Highland, the members are excited. They're not afraid of people. They love people. And we walk every Sunday from 11 to 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We're just knocking on every door. And we're being obedient to God, see. This is what our Wednesday night services look like. That's how many people are in that gym. Now, this is an activity for Christmas, but these are the same people. And you talk about, man, there's 300 or 400 in there. This is 700 people just from the community. And all because we just said, hey, man, we want to love you. We want to be your neighbors. I got to quit right there because they're telling me back there I need to quit. And you know, Terry's going to get me in trouble. Thank you.